Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her, My People show. I am your host, Mark Connell, and of course, this is the show where we talk about all kinds of aspects associated with that verse from Revelation 18:4. Come out of her, my people, so that you do not participate in the sins, and therefore do not partake of the plagues. One of the things I've suggested now for a long, long time is that the sins are pretty darned obvious, although, admittedly, much of the, whore church, I will use that term frequently, and indeed most of the, the whoring world, the world that serves another master won't even recognize what the sins are, and they think the plagues are just great. So anyway, what we're going to talk about today are a couple of things that I guess I'm going to try to connect as dots from the last week or so. And among these, and I'll start off this way, the very, very first radio show that I ever did as a host anyway from the, at that point, the mothership where I started my career in talk radio, I remember the title of it, and it was a question, where is the line? And it's a topic that I've revisited a couple of times over the years. In other words, is there a line, America, and now it's America with a K, obviously, is there a line at which when Big Brother does this or Big Brother does that or Big Brother does all of these things, kind of like what you might have seen if you ever studied American history back in the days when it was actually taught in the public indoctrination cesspools. Well, they had a line. There were a number of things, but Lexington and Concord, when the troops, the redcoats of King George III came to take the guns, the powder and the ball, at Lexington and Concord Green, that bit of gun control was the line that resulted in the shot being fired that was heard around the world, and of course, eventually the Declaration of Independence, and a list of a number of grievances, any number of which could have been lines that would have kicked off things, and indeed, depending upon where you look, there were certainly other major issues before that, things that people did in response to it, from the Boston Tea Party to the Boston Massacre to the Intolerable Acts, and you know, a number of things that, again, don't get studied today. But if you step back and say, okay, well, where is America with a K? Answer, almost all of those lines were crossed long, long ago. We had a number of people way back in the 90s executed in their church in Waco, Texas. We had a Oklahoma City Murrah bombing that violated every single law of physics. A high school kid with any understanding that was actually allowed to see the real pictures, the real information. Notice that to this day you've still never seen any of the video footage surrounding the massive incongruities there, much less an aerial photo looking down on the Murrah building because it would reveal the lie. And then on and on and on up through it, including the 2001 false flag, any number of other things we've had since then, the gun-free killing zone massacres. You name it, folks. And it leads me to, start off this way. And maybe this is a good title for the show, although as we go through things, we'll probably come up with another couple today. But where is the line? A number of years ago, let's say well over 25 or so at this point, has now become, there is no line. Honestly, I have concluded that there is no line that Big Brother can cross where Americans will finally wake up and say, for crying out loud, this far and no further. You have done it and we've had it up to here. How many more kids need to be taken from their parents? How many more millions need to come across the southern border? How many more times do people who still believe in truth, justice, and the American way have to have their homes raided, their dogs shot, and their noses really ground in the dirt to show them that the rule of law, it's dead? The Bill of Rights? Name one. And no, not even the Third Amendment, if you consider various kinds of takings. Not even one of the Bill of Rights has not remotely been gang-raped by now. And Americans still slumber. We had a candidate allowed to run for president after literally committing, what if we are realistic about it, although you'll never expect her to see the inside of a courtroom, at least not as a defendant in a red jumpsuit, has committed acts of murder, treason, bribery, you name it. Again, folks, let me say it, there is no line. And what kind of got me thinking along those lines this week was a story that came out of Hong Kong over the weekend. Now, do a little bit of compare and contrast, and maybe a couple of things will become clear. In the case of Hong Kong, we had 2 million people, 2 million people on the streets in a rally against what was being done to them by the communist turncoat governor of that once independent city-state there. That's about a fourth of the entire population of the city. Imagine 1 in 4 people turning out in Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals, or in, you know, you name it. Pick a big American cesspool. Well, maybe that's part of the problem. To protest some of the violations of rights that were going on. Now, in the case of Hong Kong, and this is really instructive, what it turns out is people were protesting the fact that the big brother communist China essentially was saying, you know, for a long time Hong Kong was too darn independent. You guys had one of the most productive economies in the world as a result, and we are cracking down, we're cracking the whip. And they wanted to be able to extradite people in China, in Hong Kong, new China with a great big K in this point. They wanted to be able to extradite them back to the communist mainland and have their way with them. Not just put them in work camps, mind you, not just make them make iPhones at slave labor rates for the communist Chinese Apple company, or for, who knows, Gulag or any of the other big brother partners in both America with a K and China with another kind of K. They wanted to be able to harvest their body parts. And I think that was probably the thing that the Chinese people that didn't want to be extradited back there, now, well, at least they thought themselves to be independent citizens in Hong Kong. I think that's what they were rallying against. Because they realized, you know, in communist China, they may just take out our organs while we're alive. Right there on the operating table. Harvest my eyes while I'm still alive. Take out my beating heart while it's right there. Why, who do they think I am? A baby on a Massachusetts or Virginia table? Ah, you see the point here, folks? This is where I'm essentially going with a couple of the connections. Because it dawned on me at this point when I suggest to you that while there is a line in Hong Kong, and communist China, trying to absorb Hong Kong into communist China, crossed the line, that line has long ago been crossed in communist America, that's been absorbed into the District of Criminals, and most Americans never even knew what happened to them. So here we go. Let's do just a little bit of comparison. I could spend the whole hour just outlining this point, and I don't have to, because I think just a few will make it. I've already mentioned several of them. In communist China, essentially, Apple will force people to commit slave labor. They even had to put in those infamous nets. Suicide prevention nets, because people were so disgusted with the life that they were being forced to lead, such as it was, they were willing to jump out of windows to end it all. What do we have in America? Well, we have Americans that have been dumbed down to the point where they don't realize they're slaves, as much so as any slaves in history. It's just that if you actually understand biblical slavery, remember, slave was only supposed to serve for 7 years, then he was to be given his freedom. In America, ask a slave of the IRS, you know, what percentage of their earnings over their lifetime. You can't even escape by going to another country, a big brother lays claim to. Answer, a slave, a serf during the Middle Ages, had essentially a better deal percentage-wise. Is it quite as bad yet? No, but, you know, you've got a number of college students that have learned what? Nothing of use. They have learned, however, to be good little wage slaves and to, well, what was the Tennessee Ernie Ford line? I owe my soul to the company store. Well, they own it to the corporate public-private partnership store nowadays. So when it comes to slave labor, I will suggest that China may be a bit ahead of America with a K, but they're certainly on the same path, and they got the same horses dragging the cart. Apple, Gulag, and you name it. Public-private partners. All right, how about the organ harvests? Well, as of yet, at least, the only people that are having their organ harvests done while they're still alive are babies. Now, not too long ago, the argument was, well, past the second trimester, it becomes kind of obscene, and we don't want to consider aborting babies post-birth. No, it's great. It's a part of the DNC platform, practically. You got Virginia. You got all kinds of eastern leftist places saying, oh, we love the idea of aborting babies post-birth and certainly while they're still alive. And if you're in California and you take video of people admitting, I want a new Lamborghini, I'm going to harvest me some baby organs, well, they'll prosecute you. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is Communist China has simply gone the next logical step and said, look, you guys have ignored the difference between a baby whose head is still in the womb and one's who's out, and now you're talking about post-birth abortion and all kinds of other things that amount to the same issue. We Communist Chinese are just a bit more honest, and we're willing to harvest anybody's organs, not just post-birth babies while they're still alive, and that includes you all. If you become enemies of the state and your socialist media score drops below a certain point. So, again, any difference between Communist China and America? No. Only in degree. And get this. Go to New York City, where the communist mayor there, Bill de Blasio, who thinks he wants to be tyrant-in-chief, is saying, oh, you know what? We don't give a blankety-blankin' either about your religion, your objection, because you don't want to be injected with something into your bloodstream. Couldn't care less what the Bible says. Couldn't care less what the facts are. If you're a vaccine denier, we're going to strap you to a gurney. We'll first fine you, and then ultimately, folks, let's not kid ourselves. This is what every good libertarian knows. If you allow people to say, we will mandate this under color of law, we're going to force you to take a vaccine. The vaccine may kill you, and if you realize that, well, and you don't want to pay the fine that we're going to force down your throat, or if you don't want to be strapped over a gurney and you dare to say no, maybe even to say no with a gun, well, we'll kill you. So ultimately, here's the thing you need to understand. Every single one of these mandates I'm talking about is ultimately backed up at gunpoint. That includes when they come and take people's children away post-birth because just maybe they don't want to get a vaccine, or just maybe they believe that the God of the Bible says something that their school doesn't want them to teach. And that Child Protective Services, who couldn't give a damn about children in a church in Waco, or indeed in your family, if you run afoul of Big Brother's mandates, or maybe your socialist media score drops too low, they'll come and take your children. Is that something that a lot of folks in America would probably be willing to say, hey, they've crossed a line there? I might be willing to use my gun? Well, not in New York, not in San Francisco, not in the People's Republic of Chicago. Not in most places. Oh, yeah, you want to take my kids? Okay, I guess I wasn't a good enough little slave of the state. Are we seeing the difference between Communist China and Communist America yet? Organ harvest. Oh, I've already mentioned this, but I guess we ought to note that it's coming here. It's being brought here by Gulag and Two Facebook and some of the other socialist media platforms. The socialist media credit score. China has it. If your socialist media credit score gets to be too low, if you've got friends, for example, who still believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or the God of the Bible, or any number of other things, you don't get to ride a bus, you don't get to have a job, you don't even get an apartment. Forget having the ability to own property. Of course, you can't own property in America with a K either. So, yeah, we're seeing all of those things, and interestingly, it's the same public-private partners that are bringing them all about. And as I was going through this list, I remembered something else that's kind of ironic. Think about this. Everything I've just named is pretty much right down the line the socialist DNC platform. Oh, along with, of course, subsidized invasion. I guess you'd have to say that's one place where Communist China is ahead. They won't put up with a socialized, subsidized invasion. But in America, the socialists are willing to force the invasion, to pay for it, and to mandate that if you know better, well, we'll shut you up first. And then we'll take away your rights, and you can see where all of this is headed. I guess the difference is, in China, knowing that they're already in control, they don't need any more communists, whereas America is still trying to import them in mass, along with the diseases and stuff that'll help bring everything else that they want to bring about, too. All right, one or two more other items that are in the news, just to kind of make the point, particularly when it comes to, well, the joke, my body, my choice. Isn't that funny? Think about it. I have railed against this for a long time, folks. It really irritates me to see some leftist idiot, generally a feminazi, and that's Rush Limbaugh's term, I'll use it in this case, generally a feminazi who says, my body, my choice. And the irony is she's too stupid or too dumbed down to realize the only choice she still has about what she thinks is her own body is to abort a baby in there. Can she tell TSA not to grope her at an airport? Not to fondle her breasts? Hell no. Can she say, I don't want my purse searched? I don't want my private parts searched? Of course not. Can she say, I don't want to be injected with whatever it is that you're planning on injecting me with? Bill de Blasio? Hell no, folks. My body, my choice. You got one choice, and it ain't your body for anything else. And this is why it's so irritating to hear stupid people parroting slogans that don't mean squat, except, hey, I'm too silly, too stupid, too dumbed down, and I'm trying to be as blunt as I can, folks, here. Sorry if that offends people to whom this hits too close to home. Too stupid to see how idiotic the things they're pushing for are while they're claiming, my body, my choice. It's not your body, your choice. If it was your body, you'd actually own it. You'd be able to say, I don't want an injection. I want to choose to be informed about, well, the foods you're planning on putting into me. I want to be able to defend my body, my choice with a gun. I want to have the rights, the God-given, constitutionally protected rights, all having ultimately to do with my life, my liberty, my property, my body, that once upon a time were part of the supreme law of the land that now are pretty much nowhere to be found. A couple more examples just to bring that point home. FDA, CDC, etc. Did you know, I've been hearing this of late, if you want to use your own stem cells, now forget baby stem cells, that was a fake choice and bad science that was being foisted on people trying to make a false dichotomy, but it turns out that your own stem cells, some modern technology can take stem cells out of fat cells and so forth and re-inject them and have all kinds of amazing cures. But FDA, Achtung, says no. My body, my choice. Well, not there, at any rate. And I've already talked about post-birth babies, harvesting organs and so forth, and forced vaccinations, and how they'll take your kids if you don't want them to be forced vaccinated, and they'll, of course, kidnap them and then do whatever they want. They'll probably end up being sold into some kind of slavery, sex slavery, that's just fine. That is, if you're a high-ranking, well, you know which, globalist, and so forth. This is amazing. You would think this contrast would show people, as it did in Hong Kong, that there really is a line, and it's been crossed a long, long time ago. All right, from there, what I want to do, and this will kind of flesh out some of the other related elements, I want to go through a couple of stories that I've seen online, generally pretty good stories. Here's one of those places where the 80-20 rule, as you know, 80% truth, just overlook a few things, comes into play. In both cases, the folks that I'm going to refer to here, or in all cases, are people that I would say have a good head on their shoulders and are right in large part, but just miss one little piece, and that little piece is what I'm going to emphasize in the come out of her my people aspect. So we're going to start with John W. Whitehead, Rutherford Institute founder and well-known libertarian author, generally good guy. But like a lot of libertarians, he fears to tread the line that the founders didn't have any problem with. We hold these truths to be self-evident. There is a creator. That all men are created equal by what? By that creator. And that we have certain unalienable God-given rights, life, liberty, and property, or the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The whole concept, folks, of the Declaration rests on the fact that there is a higher power, and his law is supreme, and the law of men is put in place to what? Secure and defend these rights that come from God. You eliminate that part, you mess up on that understanding, and the whole structure falls apart, and guess what? You end up right where we are. This is the problem with a secular, atheist, humanist, you name it, anti-God, ultimately, culture that thinks that there's some other law that works as well. Yes, even the supreme libertarian law, right? The non-aggression principle. Okay, back to Whitehead's article here. This one is called The Jackboots Are Coming, Mass Arrest, Power Grabs, and the Politics of Fear. And he does a really good job, in general, of telling about how it is that Big Brother manages to get people, persuade them, propagandize them into embracing totalitarianism, that, quote, goose-stepping form of tyranny in which government has all the power and we the people have none. Now, what you have to do, he starts out with, is you persuade folks that the menace they face, whether it's imaginary or not, is so sinister, so overwhelming, so fearsome, the only way to surmount it, no, it's not by turning to God, of course, the real one, it's by turning to a fake God and empowering Big Brother to take over all elements of, well, everything. empower them to take all necessary steps, by whatever means necessary, to quash it, even if that means jackboots trampling on a human face forever. I see, that was George Orwell's way to put it. He goes on to say this works the same way every time. The government's overblown extended wars, you name it, right? War on terror, war on drugs, war on violence, and now war on illegal immigration. Oh, that one's interesting, and it really emphasizes the point. Now, here I'm going to go a large part of the way that Whitehead is going to go, and part company just a bit, and you'll see why, and that difference is what is so important. Anyway, all of this has been used as a ruse to terrorize the populace into relinquishing more and more of their freedoms in exchange for, right, what did Ben Franklin say, trading essential liberty for a little temporary security. Case in point. Now, here he starts with a dichotomy. June 17th, the same day President Trump announced that the government would be making mass arrests in order to round up and forcibly remove all kinds of illegal immigrants that shouldn't have ever been allowed into the country, but managed to slip in mass anyway. Well, the same day that that happened, and by the way, don't hold your breath, we actually haven't seen it yet, but his point is, don't necessarily look forward to it, because like any tool of power, it can and will be misused, not for the purposes that people have been told, but ultimately the exact opposite. And, of course, you had the United States Supreme Court, the folks I refer to as the nine black-robed priests of another god, handed down a ruling in a case called Gamble v. United States that placed sovereignty, Octung, the supreme power, of federal and state governments over that of the citizenry. Specifically, when it comes to Big Brother's ability to disregard, and who cares about the Constitution anyway, right? Let's see, are we talking about which one of those ex post facto laws? No, we got rid of that a long time ago. Oh, the double jeopardy clause. There's another part of the Bill of Rights. Well, anyway, those two incidents, one relating to illegal immigration and the other to the government's prosecutorial powers, don't seem to have much to do with each other, but Whitehead suggests, no, there's a common thread here. And it starts with a concept that is going to take us to the break, and it's also going to turn on a whole bunch of, well, let's see, the recorders are already running, Big Brother is listening. Somehow or other, though, this will percolate up the AI chain if I even say the word. So here we go, sovereign anymore. Because there is a sovereign, and guess what? His name is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Yahuwah, you don't find it in most of the English Bibles. They took that out, and now they've even taken the word sovereign out and replaced it with the biggest brother you can imagine. Well, anyway, says Whitehead, for those that still remember, sovereignty is a dusty old antiquated term that harkens all the way back to an age when kings and emperors ruled with absolute power over a populace that had no rights. But Americans, back when we had them, turned that idea of sovereignty on its head. There was a phrase you might have heard, Revolutionary War era, no king but King Jesus, when they declared their independence from Great Britain and rejected the absolute sovereignty of a tyrant, King George III. And in so doing, Americans claimed for themselves the right to self-government, and they became the ultimate authority and power. Well, no, they didn't. That's where I disagree with Whitehead. The ultimate authority and power, the true sovereign, is the Creator, God alone, the supreme judge of the universe. You'll find, if you look, four specific references to God Almighty in the Bible. Three of them, besides Creator, come from Isaiah 33. I've talked about those frequently. But the key here is, America, says John W. Whitehead, we, the people, are in fact, here comes the word that really upsets the federal bunglers of investigation, sovereign citizens call the shots. Now, I don't use that term, I don't apply it to myself, for several reasons. Like I said, there is one sovereign, it's the Creator, and I am not him. It's important we understand the difference. There are certainly those that don't. The FBI and Big Brother has decided that anybody that utters those words is essentially an enemy of the state, because at least it sounds like they might have read the Bible and or the Constitution somewhere, and those are practically capital crimes. So in any case, Whitehead makes a politically incorrect statement that once upon a time, government was supposed to do our bidding. We the people were supposed to be the sovereigns, on this planet at least, as opposed to what are now called the rulers, whether they're elected or not. And we haven't had that kind of rule of law for a very long time now. We'll be right back. I'll give my head to the news. I'm the news. Take a bow for the news.
It's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall. Hold a
All right, well, welcome back now to the second half of the Come Out of Her, My People show for today. I'm still your host, Mark Call. When we started the show today, I was talking a little bit about what might be a good title, and that is, There Is No Line. And the contrast here and the comparison is kind of dramatic. In Hong Kong last week, you had 2 million people rally because they still understood that there was a line somewhere, and the communist Chinese intended to cross it by extraditing them back to the mainland from Hong Kong, where they, who knows, might have their organs harvested. And that led me to a line of comparisons between modern America with a K and modern communist China. And about the only difference is that, well, somewhere along the line, some of America at least is lagging behind the socialist curve behind mainland China. Perhaps that's not true of places like New York City and certainly the People's Republic of California. But most of the flyover country isn't quite there yet, and they're working hard on that. Now, that led me to a piece that I'm still working through from John W. Whitehead about the jackheads that are the jackboots. Maybe jackheads is a great way to put it. The jackboots that are coming. Mass arrest, power grabs, the politics of fear, and so forth. And he started off by using this word, sovereign, which used to apply to the creator of the universe. It was outlined in the Declaration as the single thing that they could all agree on unanimously. Self-evident truths, even, that we have a creator, that our rights come from him, and that the purpose of governments, and this one in particular, was to secure those rights. In other words, the American people were the sovereigns, not Big Brother. But now, notes Whitehead, Big Brother and his agents no longer even pretend that they have to answer to we the people. And here he's going to pick on the president, who probably deserves to be picked on this front and some others. While I do think the guy has done a lot of good things, and no doubt about it, certainly is a better choice than the traitor Hitlery by, well, I don't know how many light years you'd have to be talking. But in any case, his latest threats suggest Whitehead to carry out mass arrests of anyone that Big Brother suspects might be an illegal immigrant, and the Supreme Court's recognition that the government can sidestep the Constitution anytime it feels like it. And we've seen court after court after court ruling on this score, right? You don't have any rights, and we do. All suggests that it's expediency that matters, not the thou shalt nots that were once there in the Bill of Rights in genuine print. And again, I could spend the rest of the show just giving examples, so let's not do that. Where I think there is an issue here, and Whitehead makes a good point, and I take some exception to it as well, is the idea of wrong plus wrong plus wrong plus wrong. Most people are probably thinking exactly what I'm thinking. Wait a minute. We have a complete invasion going on at the border. In the interest of a real war, no, not the kind of a war on terror or the war on drugs or the war on the economic depression that was caused by the Federal Reserve, even that FDR foisted on a gullible American public 80 years ago. No, none of those kind of things. This is a real invasion. Millions of people coming across, and they don't hold those truths to be self-evident in 99% of the cases. So how do we justify wrong plus wrong plus wrong suddenly being right? In other words, is it okay now to suspend the Bill of Rights and say, oh, these people, we're going to do something to them? Well, Whitehead's point is, ultimately, when that happens, guess what, folks? It's already true that if you go to California, you don't have any rights. The illegal aliens have rights. You don't have a right to keep and bear arms, but MS-13 is just fine. And if somebody shoots a young white girl in the back, and it just happens that she was white and he was an illegal immigrant, but hey, we're not even going to report on that. Well, he gets off scot-free, but they're going to take away everybody else's guns. You see the point here? It's already true that invaders somehow have more rights than those who once would have been called, oh, and if they call themselves this, you can guarantee they don't have any rights, the sovereign citizens, we the people. So he's right. There's something horribly wrong here. And the problem is, and this is something I've emphasized over and over again, you don't get back to being a nation of law by saying, okay, well, we've gone so far down this path that maybe we'll just throw out all the laws and pretend that we can get back to a place of freedom by completely gang raping what's left of the rule of law. And here I'll telegraph my move. It's where I part company with the Whiteheads and with the other stories that I'm going to get to in just a couple minutes. If we forget the fundamental principles of what separated this nation and its revolution, its independence war, from, say, well, the French Revolution, it is one and only one major thing. Oh, they were both highfalutin sounding. The difference is the French did it from an atheist standpoint and ended up, well, right where the French have been ever since. We, as we forgot the fact that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that there was a God, at least we allowed him in the schools, the churches, the courthouses, the public square at one point anyway, and he was the one, that the God that gave us liberty, or that gave us life, gave us liberty, wrote Tom Jefferson. When we forgot that, we moved right down the path that the French showed leads to tyranny. And every other similar revolution has showed since then. And that's where I part company with, to some extent, some of these pieces that I'm going to go through next. In other words, there is an elephant in the room. No, it's not an elephant in the room, folks. It's the creator of the universe, the author of Scripture that's in the room. And if we forget that and ignore not even something nearly as big as an elephant, all of the rest of these things literally don't make any sense. They lead us to a place of confusion. And that's what these guys that I'm mentioning here are going to say, but they don't quite get it. All right, here's how Whitehead puts it, and he comes close. How do we reconcile the founders' vision of our government as an entity whose only purpose is to serve the people? No, it's to secure these rights, folks. Rights that come from God. It's close, but no cigar. With the state's insistence, the police state now, that the government is the supreme authority. It is, in fact, another master, the prince of this world, a fake God, a jealous God indeed. That's why they don't want the real God in the schools, much less the courthouses. All of these things, says Whitehead, are irreconcilable. They're polar opposites. And we're fast approaching a point of reckoning. And, yeah, all of that's true. Now, here is a point that he makes that really nails this. It is a good one. And he's going to quote The Guardian out of the UK, a left-leaning paper, even in this one. The mass of ordinary Germans, he notes, didn't know about the evolving terror of Hitler's Holocaust. No, that's not what it says. That's what we've been told it says. But here's what it really says. The mass of ordinary German citizens did, in fact, know a whole lot about the evolving terror of Hitler's Holocaust. They knew the concentration camps were full of Jewish people who were stigmatized. Ah, see, here you go. They were subhuman. They were race defilers. In other words, kind of like babies. They deserved whatever happened to them on the operating table or in the camps. Kill them. I saw a story this week disgusted me. Some of the leftist papers, and I don't want to lump them all. Well, I do. For the most part, they're very similar, but I won't name any of the rags. You know which ones I'm talking about, but at least some of them have actually changed their official wording. You're no longer to say that a fetus is a baby. That's been true for a while. And you're no longer able to say that the fetus has a beating heart. Ready? Get this. It has pulsations. You see, we changed the words to the point where you can't even associate something as being alive anymore. Well, that's exactly what the Nazis did with the Jews, and that's exactly what's being done with people who, well, right now, remember, the only people that you can stigmatize and not be called a race-hating, a race-baiting bigot or any number of other bad things, everybody is protected except one particular class, white males. And you can lump in with white males if they're Bible believers or females. Anybody else that believes in the Bible or has read the Constitution, they're almost as bad as white males. But you can see what's going on. The point here is this is the very same demonization mechanism. In the case of ordinary Germans, they knew that these people, fill in the blank, like other groups of minorities, were being killed. They knew that they were being killed. They knew that Adolf Hitler had repeatedly forecast the extermination of every Jew on German soil. They knew the details, at least some of them, and the rest, you know, kind of like what we see today, right? Most people don't know exactly how horrific a partial birth abortion is because two Facebook will ban you if you try to show it. And various other leftist rags will say, no, you can't show people that. Just like I suspect Adolf didn't want to show people being gassed in the chambers or women's and children's naked bodies being thrown into a ditch. But they knew, just like we know. They knew because the camps and the measures which led to them had been prominently and proudly reported step by step. Just like today, in all kinds of officially sanctioned public, private, official, corporate media, organs, Ministry of Truth. In those days, they were officially inspired German media articles and posters all over the country. It was a public process, and here Whitehead nails it, of desensitization. And ultimately, it worked all too well, culminating in the killings of not only 6 million Jews, but millions of other folks as well. And now, he points out, whether the Trump administration is doing so knowingly or not, I'm going to add that part in there, there is an effort to stigmatize and dehumanize any who Big Brother doesn't want here. Now, this is a good point. I think all of us would say, look, if you open the floodgates and say, come on in, the more disgusting you are, the more you hate everything that America once represented, especially during the Obama regime. Notice that it was the migrants from Christian countries that were refused. But migrants from Muslim countries? No, that's okay. Why? Well, because, folks, let's be honest here. Jihad does not fit with the concept of, the First Amendment. There comes a point at which you have to recognize, if my religion says I can kill your son or your daughter, it's not consistent with certain principles of life, liberty, and property. And that's why there are religions, a whole bunch of them, indeed pagan things that are antithetical to the founding principles. Uh-oh, and you can't say that, they'll ban you for that too. So the point here is that the question should be asked, why did we let these people in the first place? Well, because it was an intended invasion. And now that they're in, we got a whole different problem, because the Civil War, I will contend, is already on hand. There is no line anymore. And Whitehead is right to point out that the problem here of mass arrests of anyone suspected of being an illegal alien will, in fact, boomerang and backfire. Because we have a Big Brother and an agent set that will treat you like a suspect, whether or not you've done anything wrong, simply because they have been trained to view everybody as them. Everybody, in other words, as not being deserving of those protections. And the Supreme Court said the same thing. Come on, bust down the door, shoot the dog, worry about it later. Trump says, take the guns first, worry about due process later. I think King George would have gotten away with saying the same. Well, he did. When we discard the rule of law and say it no longer matters, we're in a whole, let me say it bluntly, hell of a mess. Says Whitehead, we've been having this same debate about the perils of government overreach for 50 plus years. Folks, it's been as long as I've been doing radio, and I'm not that old, but I can certainly remember several decades ago. And yeah, whether we're talking Waco or other abominations, Ruby Ridge, it's the same story. It's just that they've shown by exercise that they can get away with it, so why not take the next few steps? California is institutionalized, and China shows the way. All of the excessive abusive tactics employed by Big Brother today, warrantless surveillance, says Whitehead, stop and frisk searches, SWAT team raids, roadside strip searches, even injections, asset forfeiture, private prisons, indefinite detention, militarized police, all of these at least were allegedly a well-meaning plan when they started to address some problem that needed, well, a little more power by Big Brother. It's essentially the Hegelian dialectic. And he goes to example, I've already mentioned him, the war on drugs, the war on terror, the war on immigration, papers, bitta. Now, here is one other point I want to add when it comes to the war on immigration. Here's the one thing I guarantee you, Big Brother socialists of both the so-called right and left, both wings of that same evil bird of prey, the rhinos and the far left, well, but I repeat myself, can agree on. The solution, folks, no, it's not going to be a wall. No, it's not going to be to cut off welfare to anybody that can sneak across the border. No, it's not going to be even to deport the bad guys. They may deport a few good Americans. It's going to be E-Verify. What is that? Well, call it the mark of the beast if it makes you recognize the truth a bit easier. It's a biometric scheme that says, Achtung, your papers, bitte, as the Germans got it, was not quite as good as what they're planning. An electronic scheme that will say you won't work, you won't rent an apartment, you won't buy groceries, you won't even get access to Facebook's new Libra coin. In other words, you won't be able to buy or sell unless you meet all of the socialist credit score systems and have your little good little citizen card punched for E-Verify. So guess what? I have contended, I still believe, the real problem with the massive illegal immigration, it's not just that they want to bring in millions of new socialist, anti-scriptural, anti-constitutional, wannabe Democrats, although there's an element of that for sure. And it's not just that they want to have people who demonstrate to real Americans that we're going to rub your noses in it and your God-given rights are nothing but toilet paper. It's that they want to put in place a scheme as a result of that Hegelian dialectic evil that is every bit as insidious as anything Scripture talks about. A mark of the beast, an E-Verify system. And ironically, again, here's the point, both wings of the bird of prey will be in agreement on that score. Says Whitehead, you can't allow the government to act like a police state and then still think you live in a constitutional republic. Well, folks, we haven't lived in a constitutional republic for most of my lifetime now, certainly for the last two decades. And yes, there comes a time, says Whitehead, when law and order are in direct opposition to justice. Now, here is where I part company the rest of the way and say he is right. Justice, justice, you shall pursue, says the Bible. But again, the key is whose justice, whose law, which law. Choose this day whom you will serve. It's the essence of come out of her. It's the elephant in the room. Well, no, again, it's bigger than the elephant in the room. It's the creator that isn't allowed in the room. And it is why this whole argument really boils down to, do you recognize where your rights come from? If you have rights from God, as John Adams said, that are superior to any earthly government of mere men, then no government of mere men should be allowed to take them away from you. Unless, of course, as we see in the Scriptures, and as Franklin too pointed out, you're willing to trade a little liberty for a temporary bit of security. Or in the Bible, it was to sell your birthright for a cup of pottage. Americans have done both of those. Quick story to go where I'm going to go next in the time remaining. This comes from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Children's Health Defense, about mental health problems on college campuses. He calls it the sad new normal. And my main reaction to that is, are you kidding me? If you aren't a nutcase, they won't allow you on a college campus anymore. But he says this, college campuses are witnessing record levels of student mental health problems. There's a shocker, ranging from depression and anxiety disorders to suicide, self-injurious behaviors, and worse. Americans today are experiencing, young Americans, college Americans, a, quote, greater level of stress and psychopathology than at any time in the nation's history, with ramifications that are difficult to overstate. That's from a piece in Psychology Today. One major element, says Robert F. Kennedy Jr., psychotropic or other medications, SSRI, suicide drugs or mass murder drugs, some folks call them. In addition, the majority of American students are unprepared academically. Good grief. Are you kidding me? Yeah, tell me something that's a surprise. They're emotionally fragile, and the college completion rates are declining rapidly. All of that bodes poorly, he says. And then he gives some numbers about massive studies of college students that are suffering things like overwhelming anxiety, fully 3 in 5, over 60%. 2 in 5 report feeling so depressed that it's difficult to function. 1 in 8 have attempted or are thinking about suicide and so forth. And guess what? He also notes there's a strong correlation. Here's a study that was done by a couple of major universities, Penn State and Yale, back in 2017. They showed a temporal relationship between newly diagnosed neuropsychiatric disorders and vaccines received by the kiddies in the last 3 to 12 months. Oops, but guess what? Nope, they needed to distance themselves from that. So isn't it interesting that if you go back and say, well, why is it that we got so many nutcases on college campus? There are no shortage of explanations. I'll suggest almost all of them have more than a little bit of truth in them. But that leads me to where I'm going to end today. This is a piece from Brandon Smith at altmarket.com. I like Brandon. He's a good libertarian. And I would say in this case, he comes very, very close to the truth, but still no cigar. The piece is called An Examination of the Leftist Cult and Their Religion. See, he gets that part right on and essentially nails it. I'm going to have to kind of go quickly through the setup here because most of it you've heard before. There's a common misconception among new liberty movement folks that there's this false left-right paradigm and that means that there's no political spectrum. No, that's not true. The entire notion of left and right is not really a fabrication. But when we talk about false paradigms, understand that when you deal with the elitist, a.k.a. the globalists, and the fact that they have no left-right orientation because they don't care about Democrats or Republicans, they simply want to get what they want to get, and it's power at any cost. On the other hand, among the average people, there is a political spectrum. Now, the libertarians, if you've ever seen their data, they'll go with a two-dimensional or a square thing, more freedom and more order and so forth on different axes. But on the left side of the two-dimensional, three-dimensional, on the simplified spectrum, let me put it that way, are the collectivists and socialists, and basically they believe that the group, the mass of people, the mob, is vastly more important than the individual, and that individuals must be strictly monitored and controlled. Ah, you heard this in Star Trek, right? The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And on the so-called right side of the spectrum, you got the individualist, the, here's that word again, sovereignty activists, and even true conservatives, people who in one degree or another believe that society should be restricted from dictating the life of the individual. You know, the Bible puts it this way, I point this out a lot, choose this day whom you will serve. If there's one element of Scripture that resonates, and by the way, the two-word summary I will have, I've always suggested is right out of Deuteronomy chapter 30, choose life. But the key is we have a choice. So yeah, I fall into that group. Choose. We have choice. Group participation should be voluntary. Whereas leftists, though, seek to centralize, says Brandon Smith, people on the right seek to decentralize. And they, on the right, point out, without the individual, there is no group. And the separation of philosophies is simple, it's easy to follow, and so forth and so on. The problem, he says, is that now we have these globalists who are attempting to trick conservatives to act more like socialists. And they don't try that trick with leftists, they're already socialists. So they try to trick them instead into becoming even more extreme in their collectivist tendencies. The goal being a world where everyone is a leftist. And, he points out, as I just noted here, that not only have colleges become a center of anti-free speech and leftist collectivism and indeed madness, but also centers of worship, the new religion. Now, in the past, it's had many names, secular humanism, atheism even. He calls it social justice in this case. I will note that the Bible had an even older name. It's called Baal worship, Baal worship. Baal is literally a word that translates as Lord, but it's a fake god. And think about it, folks, that's exactly what we're talking about. These are rebels without a legitimate cause, he says, so they create causes out of nothing. He talks about journalism and the hot garbage factories like the New York Times and Vox and others that have replaced real journalism with, I like this term, a Roman bathhouse of narcissism and iniquity. And it's a pagan bathhouse, too. Cultural Marxists are looking not just at economic disparities now, but they want to bring down a civilization. And ultimately where he's headed is this. You can look and see how people are born. You can look and talk about the Declaration of Independence. You can talk about left-right behavior, the corporate behemoths and what they're pushing. Yes, and he gets this right, it's a new social embrace of atheism. And none of that, says Brandon Smith, satisfies the innate human relationship to the metaphysical. The left wants to deify nature. They call it Mother Earth, Mother Gaia. All right, let's just cut to the chase. Come on, say it, Brandon. They have replaced the God of the Bible, the God who gave us life, that gave us liberty, the one that the founders agreed unanimously was the source of our God-given rights, with a fake. Whether you call it Mother Earth, Baal, or even Satan, or just the biggest brother you can possibly imagine. And this is the place I part company with both of these otherwise good folks. It's what we need to understand. There is no line anymore. And the problem is that Americans have forgotten the basic principles that once set us apart. And if we talk about law and order and a return to something, anything other than where we're headed, without an understanding that it is the God of the Bible that brung us to this party, we will lose, and we will lose big time. And that is the singular message. Brandon Smith concludes his piece by saying, it is quite a conundrum. No, it's not. The reason it's a conundrum is because in so many cases, otherwise right-thinking people don't take the last step, even though it was once self-evident. There really is a God, and his name is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. So in fact, choose this day whom you will serve, because that is the only choice that leads to life. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.